When Saddam Hussein's statue was toppled in Baghdad's Ferdows Square in April of last year, many people in the Arab world gave a silent cheer. Most Arabs opposed the U.S.-led war in Iraq, but the startling symbol of that fallen statue gave hope that other statues might fall, and in the long era of autocratic rule in the region. 18 months later, though, opinions in the region are dramatically different. NPR's Deborah Amos reports on the trends in the fifth and final part of a series called Bordering on Instability, Iraq's Arab Neighbors.
Anti-American anger in the Arab world is at an all-time high, shaped mainly by the war in Iraq and a perception that U.S. foreign policy is hostile to Arab and Muslim concerns, not just over Iraq, but in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Those are the findings from a variety of studies carried out by Arab and Western analysts and pollsters over the past year.
The younger generation is more anti-American.
Mustafa Hamarne heads Jordan's Center for Strategic Studies.
But this is a recent development, and this is exactly, no matter how critical you are of these military operations, this is of a recent development.
At Damascus University in neighboring Syria, Samir Taki conducted a regional survey for the European Union and found these percentages.
It's in the 90s, you know, 92, 94. So those are the figures of anti-Americanism, considering America our main enemy.
Shibli Telhami, a Middle East specialist at the University of Maryland, surveyed opinions in six Arab countries before and after the Iraq War. He says there is a disturbing sympathy with Osama bin Laden and rising resentment of the United States.
They believe that there is more terrorism today and less peace in the Middle East than there was before. And their faith in America has further deteriorated. They don't believe American foreign policy is motivated by freedom and democracy. And what they see in Iraq terrifies them.
And what they hear about Iraq frightens them too. Iraqis have fled by the thousands to neighboring Arab states with personal accounts of the chaos back home.
Now there's a war in every area in our country. This make our life very troubled. We need peace, that's all.
This young woman is a medical student from Baghdad. She was in Damascus in September. In Jordan, Hashim Kaisi, who owns a manufacturing plant, says he has suffered too. 95% of his business was with Iraq.
Believe it or not, Jordanian people loved Saddam Hussein. Things were booming, economy was the best. Saddam Hussein been left gone for 1.5 years. Is life better now for Iraqi people? Is it better now?
The leaders of neighboring Arab regimes have used the chaos as a warning that change is dangerous, says analyst Shibli Telhami.
People don't want the Iraq model for themselves. And in a way, Iraq has become a barrier to change that governments are able to use. Governments are able to say, do you want this or would you rather have the stability that I'm providing, bad as it is?
And there's another tactic to stall reforms, explains Robert Malley. Former member of the National Security Council under President Clinton, he now heads the International Crisis Group, a Washington-based think tank. Arab regimes question the motives and patriotism of reformers, he says, slapping a Made in America label on democratic ideals.
Those who are in power and who are defending the status quo point their fingers to the United States and say the reformists are the ones who are the Trojan horses for the architects of regime change in Washington. It's become almost too easy to discredit reformists, even as the aspiration for change has become stronger in those regions.
In Saudi Arabia, television images of the prisoner abuse scandal in Iraq and the stalemate in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict have undercut the reformers, says Suleiman Hadlan, a newspaper columnist in Riyadh.
The liberals in the country here have no credibility when they talk about the American model of human rights and political reform, because everybody will laugh at them if they take it as an example.
In Damascus, Samir Taki, a democracy advocate, says he's erased the word democracy from his vocabulary because of associations with the United States.
It's much easier to preach, to speak about participation, grassroots participation, than to speak about democracy, unfortunately.
Many Arabs would rather speak about Islam, a religion they believe is under attack, says Shibli Telhami. It's another trend identified in his study of Arab public opinion.
They think the U.S. is also out to weaken Muslims. That's sort of a new increasing perception across Arab and Muslim countries. Islamic identity is gaining at the expense of Arab identity and state identity.
In societies where freedom of speech and freedom of assembly are limited, the mosque is often the only place young people can gather. And it's where they frequently hear Islam is under threat from the West. At the same time, autocratic rulers no longer control the flow of information this generation sees, hears, and reads on the internet and satellite television. The media revolution frames their attitudes and makes them profoundly different from their parents, says Robert Malley of the International Crisis Group.
We're talking about a whole generation that has now been fed images of warfare on the Israeli-Palestinian front, on the Iraqi front. They've seen their regimes not lift a finger to stop one war or another war. They've not been able to come to the help of the Palestinians or the Iraqis. So the regimes have lost credibility. They've lost a sense that they matter.
The gap in the Arab world between those who govern and the governed has never been wider, says Saudi analyst May Yamani.
From my work on the new generation, I saw that the men are feeling, and the women who I interviewed, more and more alienated.
Alienated from the leadership in their own country, says Yamani. The Saudi-born researcher interviewed young Saudis for her book, Changed Identities.
The worst thing that is happening is there is so much talk of reform, but it remains talk. It makes them more frustrated. The previous generation didn't think about talk, and people respected the rulers. Now that has changed, and there is a drastic loss of trust between the rulers and the ruled. So it's not just America. It's this whole link between, you know, the anger with the West as well as with their own rulers.
Nowhere is the sense of loss greater than among the young across the region, where more than 60% of the population is under 30 years old. They are coming of age during a regional economic crisis. Unemployment is their main concern. Without a job, they can't get married or have an independent life. Bashar Musa, the lead singer of a popular Syrian rock band, writes about his generation.
We have the war in Iraq here. We have the conflict of Palestine and Israel. We have the problem of the economic situation. We have the conflict of the oil, you know. And at the end, I just sit in my room and I say, our generation have no hope.
There was a time when young Arabs looked to America as a symbol of hope. Opinion polls show this generation no longer sees the United States as a model for a better life. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
You can hear the rest of the series on Iraq's neighbors at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.